We have enough, I understand, for a quorum, so we've got a full agenda. Let me call the meeting to order. Am I on? Yep.
Yes, can you hear yourself?
Yes, I can now that I properly hold the microphone, as Janet has instructed me. The roll call, Mr. Secretary.
Good morning. So, in the usual order, Agamir? Agamir is here.
Sorry about that.
Alderson is here. Bernstein is not here.
He's asked to be excused.
Okay. Edward Steekert.
Here.
Edward Steekert is here.
Here.
Fuentes Roman?
Here.
Fuentes Roman is here. Gans?
Here.
Gans is here. Goldmacher.
Here.
Goldmacher is here. Hallinan.
Here.
Hallinan is here. Hernandez.
Here.
Hernandez is here. Johnson. Johnson is not here. Coburn.
Here.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil. Kurzweil is
out of town.
Kurzweil is not here. Moore.
Really out of town.
Moore is here. Morgan. Morgan is not here. Pritchett. Pritchett is not here. Rosenberg?
Here.
Rosenberg is here. Sanders? Sanders is not here. Sawyer?
Here.
Sawyer is here. Siegel?
He's out of town.
Siegel is not here. Sterling?
Here.
Sterling is here. Town Nichols? Town Nichols is not here. Travis? Travis is not here. Whipperman? Whipperman is here. Burton, excuse me, White.
Here.
White is here. Wilkinson.
Here.
Wilkinson is here. So that's 16 present and a quorum.
Thank you. I have a request to make of the board. Pardon? Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's take care of that first. The next item is to excuse absent members, and I see two hands. I see Brian, and I'm blanking on your name. I'm Frank, and Frankson, and Joy.
Dan Siegel's written the national board, but I don't think the local board to say he's out of the country until Wednesday. I'd move that he be excused.
Hold on, Frank.
Andrea Pritchett is at a cop watch training program, and I guess I would move to be that she be excused.
Margie? Janet?
And Ramses will be here.
Okay. A motion has been made that we excuse all the absent members, and as the people who do join us come in, they will be noted for the record. Is there any objection to that procedure? Seeing none, so ordered. Now back to my point about a favor of the board. We spent a lot of time at the last meeting, including faults of my presiding of not calling people in terms of when they were off subject. I beg the board to realize that everybody has a responsibility to make sure that we move the discussion in an efficient way. So we all have a responsibility in that regard. And I would like the record to show that I have provided the secretary with the resignation letter that we have received, making a vacancy on the board, which has been filled. Okay, we're now on to approve the agenda, and we're already 19 minutes behind. Joy.
I would like to add or suggest that under old business, we revisit the IT audit I introduced at my very first meeting here.
And a point of information.
Hold on a second.
So that would be like item D under old business.
May we use microphones, please?
D. Is my memory correct that failed at the last meeting?
No, let me get that straight.
please.
What happened was
I deferred the item for one meeting because we were going to hear from Goldbusters. Now that we're going to hear from Goldbusters, I would like to revisit the IT.
Cool. Okay, D under old business. Thank you for clarifying me on that. Tracy, I asked you to hold up for a minute. You now have the floor.
Yeah, I just wanted to take a second to ask the chair to clarify that last statement about letter of resignation, new board member. Are you referring to Lawrence Shoup and the seating of Samsara Morgan?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe there was something else.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Any other recommended modification of the agenda? I would say if something comes up, I don't know if everybody heard, Andrew raised the question about going into executive session if necessary. My reaction would be if and when we reach the point when an executive session is called for, any member of the board can raise that and we'll make that decision at that time. Brian?
I just feel like we owe it to the public to be a little bit predictable. So if we need to be in executive session for a portion of the manager's report, maybe we should formally agendize that so people know it's coming.
That was what you were referring to, that it might come up in that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My report will be brief, but if the board wishes to go into detail and ask questions, then we should go into executive session.
Does everyone in the room, including people who are attending who are not members of the board, have a copy of the agenda before them? In that case, please be aware that the question of executive session might occur in conjunction with the IGM report if members of the board so request. Other than that, I hear no other proposed modification of the agenda. Do I hear any objection to the agenda as modified? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. And we're now approving minutes. And we're catching up on our time. Thank you all. Do I hear a motion on the question of the minutes? The minutes were emailed to all, and a copy was distributed.
I move the minutes be approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection to the approval of the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved as submitted. And we are now at public comments. Frank, would you do me a favor and bring me up the sign-up list, please? Has everyone had a chance to, wants to make a public comment, had a chance to sign up? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Frank. Virginia Browning, you're first on the list. And if you can grab a mic, you're going to have it for 3 whole minutes. I think you're going to get one.
Can't you be mean inside your own head?
No.
And make sure it's turned on.
Okay, hold it a second.
So I see there's a camera over there. Can somebody explain, or you know, does it belong to anybody here?
Camera? Where?
Yeah, that's on. I was
going to
address that in public
comment. Is it on?
Is it on?
It's recording.
In light of that, I need to ask its purpose.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I was... Yeah, I'm David Curtis from Marin County. And I was invited here today by Ann Garrison to see the board in action and for possible consideration in participating on the board now or at a later date. And I have my camera here recording, but if you're uncomfortable recording, I can shut it off.
Well, reacting, sorry.
Go ahead.
Let me react as chair. I would request advance notice of anything of that nature so the board can make a decision.
Well, since the meeting is being recorded and going to be posted, I don't see that another recording is a. I mean, Mark's making a recording over here too, so what's the big deal?
I would have put my makeup on.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have.
No, it's not. Folks, one at a time. I was just making a request for advance notice. I see Janet's hand, I see Margie's hand, I see Mark's hand, and I see my aide.
So this is a public meeting, so I don't think there's any problem with it. I just was curious.
Let me raise a question. Does anybody object? We can move through the debate. Margie?
I just want to ask you a question. Some of us have had the experience of having meetings that we attended recorded and then aired, having been edited in ways that were made people seem to say things that they didn't say, or you know. So as long as you just promise that you won't do that, I'm perfectly comfortable with it. Sure.
Yeah, I just I have a YouTube channel. That's my name, David Curtis. If you go to YouTube, and whenever I attend a public meeting as a citizen, I just put the raw video out if it's okay to do that, and if not, I don't. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You mean you would put out a 5-hour meeting?
I would just. I think my camera only runs for 2 hours. At high res, but I think I'm shooting at low res, so I might be able to get, X number of hours, and I would just post the raw video unedited. And I've done that for a number of events this year, presidential campaign debates and stuff like that.
I get the consensus of the meeting is that we are public, and when we are a public session, it is welcome. Please proceed.
Wait, that goes back out there. They have to be in a certain order.
Ramsey says right. Gotta be.
Okay, so I'm not, since it was an executive session last time, I don't know what happened with JR, but I just want to say that if I seem to mischaracterize how many times people in another group opposed to JR went onto the air and put inappropriate agendas about KPFA on the air, if it was only twice rather than over and over for some of you, I am sorry if I mischaracterized it. However, the fact is several people from the so-called Save KPFA side went on the air in fund drives, in elections, and other times and put things on the air that were completely inappropriate to put on for Pacifica and KPFA. And they're all still there. So, you know, whether you agree with the way JR did what he did or not, perhaps he should have, after he says he appealed to the manager, appealed to Pacifica for redress for his tape being erased, etc., perhaps he should have tried to get together a little protest or something before he actually took to the airwaves. I don't know. But all I do know is that other people from the other group did that over and over and were not taken off the air. And I think if there were more training at KPFA, I know it's a hard thing. Apparently the paid staff is afraid of losing their jobs, so they don't feel like training the unpaid staff as much as could happen. But if there were the union contract is up now. If there could be a provision in there that required people to come to meetings together. Now, is that really impossible to do? That seems like a good negotiating point to me. Then maybe people could somehow work together. Somehow there could be sanctions for not working together. And JR should get a chance to to work it out, and everybody else to the satisfaction of the larger group.
Thank you. David Curtis? Have you finished?
I'm a candidate for office in the 2014 election cycle. Just started the campaign, and I work in Emeryville. I collaborate with an architect in Emeryville, but I live in Marin, and then I'm establishing a campaign office in Oakland this month. So Ann Garrison is an associate, and she invited me here today. Secretary of State for California as a can I say the party affiliation, Green Party affiliation? So that's what's happening.
And your name?
David Curtis, Curtis. If you type David Curtis Green Party into Google, that's me.
Oh. Okay, you're on. You're on, Mr. Bergstrom. Grab a mic. Borgstam, sorry.
Three. Okay. My name's Daniel Borgstam. And about JR, you know, I just got to appreciate the ironies in this, multiple ironies. In the first place, here is a black broadcaster. He gets he's on the air criticizing a white woman, a white woman who happens to be a starlet, a KPFA princess. And he is saying, among other things, he is saying that the station has a anti-black Jim Crow climate. Well, what happens when he makes after he makes this? He gets suspended without due process. So what does this look like? I mean, stop and think. What does this look? Does it look like he might have a point there? I mean, whether you agree with him or not, consider what it looks like. Now, there's another thing. I keep hearing from multiple sources that he endangered the station by calling FCC attention to an error, you getting on the air, getting the F word on the air, that this other programmer did. Well, apparently she did let the F word slip out. She endangered the station, or that's the way it looks like to me. $300,000 fines, that's endangering the station. He calls attention to it. Okay, maybe that's bad, maybe it isn't. How does Save KPFA handle this? And Save KPFA is not your legitimate name, by the way. You borrowed it from someone. You stole it, hijacked the name from someone else. But how do you handle this? By not only suspending him, but announcing, making a public issue of the fact that you are suspending him for calling FCC attention to this. I mean, what you're doing, it's like saying, hey, FCC, did you see this? Hey, in case you didn't hear this, FCC, are you out there? Hey, this is what's going on. I find that kind of incredible that you're making a public issue of that this happened. You're making a public issue and public display of cronyism, of unfairness, all these bad things. And this is supposedly a progressive station. That's what I think some of us would like to think of it that way. And we would like to be better than the Democrats and the Republicans. We see this in the society around us, that whistleblowers are punished in various ways. There's Bradley Manning, who's in jail. Okay, time's running out here. Okay, that's just a thank you for hearing what I had to say.
Thank you, sir. That ends the people who have signed up for public comments. We are now entering item number 6 on the agenda, which is announcements. Any announcements?
I think something we can all agree on.
Please use a mic.
Thank you. The Free Speech Radio News fundraiser this month, a week from tomorrow, Sunday, April 21st at 5 to 7 at the UU Fellowship. So I'll put the flyers back, or I've got a few, so I'll just put them back there for anyone. And whatever else. That's all.
Thank you. Joy, did I see your hand?
Yes.
Joy Moore?
I'm totally off the subject. You can call me on it later, but tomorrow is the opening of the Berkeley Historical Society's exhibit, Farming in Berkeley from 1850 to 2003, and I am the opening MC. Right. It's from 2 to 5 over at the Veterans Memorial Center on Center Street. So please come out. It's a really exciting show. Thanks.
Sounds to me like an appropriate announcement. Margie?
Alameda County and the Alameda County Sheriff's Office and the City of Berkeley are looking into buying a drone. This matter was referred by the Berkeley City Council to the Commission, the Police Review Commission, and to the Peace and Justice Commission. Those two commissions have combined forces and appropriately or not, on May 1st, on May Day, we'll be holding a town hall meeting to hear concerns and comments by Berkeley citizens on whether or not Berkeley should participate in this process. The location has not yet been announced, but I'm hoping that we'll be able to get word of it onto the radio, and I hope you will watch out for it. There will be flyers and announcements. And if necessary, you can always go to the City of Berkeley webpage and check the calendars for either the Police Review Commission or the Peace and Justice Commission, which will have the location and exact time. It will be in the evening on Wednesday, May 1st. Yeah. No, Police Review and Peace and Justice are two separate commissions. Okay.
Another thing I think we agree on, in the next month, we don't know the timing, that they will make the choice about the Berkeley PO post office. And so there's a flyer back here you can get on the list. We really want to have a reaction, whatever it is, because it's about the privatization of the whole system. Right.
Thank you. Any further announcements? Last time. Any further announcements? Okay, we're ready to move into item number 7, which is the report of the interim general manager.
Before we do that, since I have the mic, I just want to note for the record that Cynthia Johnson has arrived and Ramses Town Nichols has arrived.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, everybody. Just a few brief remarks this time. I want to mention that our treasurer will be handing out some financials during her report, and so you'll be getting those financials shortly. The unpaid staff organization meeting and new hires. I sat in on an UPSO, the Unpaid Staff Organization Council, this past week. We had a productive two-hour session at their quarterly meeting. One of the discussion points related to the recent hire of an assistant subscriptions person, James Snitson. After receiving about 50 applicants and sorting them down to a dozen, the five-person committee made their choice. I believe the process was fair. The committee spent 12 hours interviewing the final 12 candidates. Based on the comments of the UPSO representative, who was part of the hire committee, the UPSO meeting deemed the process fair. It was pointed out that deliberations of hire committees are private. The process of forming the committee is transparent, but the deliberations are private. Upfront hire. The KPFA News Department also announced recently this week the hire of Tina Buckman and Maria Choi, selected to serve as vacation relief hosts for Upfront. Tina is a long-time News Department unpaid staff member, and Maria most recently has been a producer of Apex Express. Training for both is in progress, and nearly a dozen talented KPFA producers applied. We thank all of them for their contributions. I want to point out that this hire is for when the Upfront host is on vacation. This is not, I repeat, not an additional position for Upfront. Under our union contract, we are duty-bound to provide paid replacements when a paid employee is absent for at least a week or less than 2 months. Management is duty-bound to guarantee coverage of duties, including, if necessary, a temporary half-time paid replacement, and this applies primarily to news and public affairs. FSRN, yes, there is going to be an event. I think it's next Sunday. I'm correct? Not this, but next. And urge you to tell your friends about it. I think I mentioned last time Pacifica does owe FSRN some money. KPFA kicked in $35,000 to keep the shop open last month, and that will be deducted from our central services. That's my understanding. But we hope FSRN continues. It's an important part of our Pacifica and affiliate network. I will share the little I know regarding events east of here in New York and Washington, D.C. I understand that WBAI is still in, quoting the executive director, complete distress. The ongoing monthly rent for the WBAI transmitter at the Empire State Building, I understand, is $60,000 a month. Meanwhile, WPFW is reported in a volatile situation with demonstrations outside the building and a possible lawsuit over the Clear Channel lease, which has not been signed, I understand, for its new proposed building. The move is very unpopular amongst programmers. Meanwhile, both stations owe Pacifica Central Services. I expect PMB members have better and more information than I do, and they may report. Goldbusters will be visiting KPFA again during our May fund drive, which begins the 1st of May through the 24th. Their visit will be May 6 through 9. On Tuesday the 7th, at 2 p.m. and then at 6 p.m., Goldbusters will be running pitch workshops for our staff. And on Thursday, May the 9th, Goldbusters is available to meet with LSB members at the at KPFA conference room at 5 p.m. on May the 9th. Union negotiations are due to begin this month with the interim executive director's involvement. It's an important negotiation. I've had a couple of preliminary meetings with the CWA, and I look forward to these negotiations. KPFA's 64th birthday, April 15. We planned a 64th birthday fundraising event at Venetia Restaurant starring Wavy Gravy. We sent out 1,000 invitations and tickets at $150 each, or two for $275. But we received too few responses, only 20, and we needed way more than that to pay for this. And so the event was cancelled. It was a fundraising event planned at, and we didn't want to lose money. We needed to make money. We do plan a picnic later this year. The outreach committee, along with some of us at KPFA, are working on that. Personnel issues. Let me get to that in a minute. Earth Day, April the 22nd. We plan a two-hour Fukushima special based on the New York City Symposium on the medical and ecological impacts of the Fukushima nuclear accident held in New York Academy of Medicine last month. We'll be running that on Earth Day, April the 22nd, some of that. I mentioned our spring drive begins May 2nd through 24th, 24 days with a goal of approaching $760,000, which is a lot. Very briefly, we've got a great KPFA speaker series coming up with Gar Alporovitz, Jeremy Scahill, his great film, which I haven't seen, but people tell me is great. Eve Ensler will be here talking about her memoir, and the world treasure, Eduardo Galeano, the great writer, will be here to discuss Children of the Days, a calendar of human history. I wonder if KPFA will be in that, but great writer. Okay, KPFA personnel issues. Let me get onto that. I'm still waiting to hear from, I'm still awaiting a specific response and an action plan from Pacifica regarding the pressing personal issues, some of which have been brought up here by our public comment that sent us into executive session at the last LSB meeting. Late yesterday afternoon, I received a phone call from Interim Executive Director Summer Rees. She told me that I should be prepared to vacate my office at KPFA next week. I asked why. She said, quote, in response to multiple allegations of racism at KPFA during my tenure, unquote, she told me she'd made up her mind. I said I would not discuss this on the phone and needed a face-to-face meeting as soon as possible. And she agreed to meet this coming Monday. The Interim Executive Director confirmed this conversation in a brief email. At this time, I am still Interim General Manager at KPFA, where I've been now for more than 2 years, and tried my best to stabilise the station. I know we have a long way to go, but first we need a stable platform, some balance. I point out that we're coming into another fund drive, beginning, as I said, the first of next month. There's unrest at KPFA because of the unresolved issues, these personnel issues, which I mentioned, and now I'm amongst them. I don't know who Summer plans to install as the Interim General Manager. She did say I could run for the GM position if and when that is advertised. Thank you. That's my report.
Okay. I saw Janet's hand. Oh, thank you. I saw Margie's hand. I see Joy's hand. Am I missing anybody at this point? And Brian. And I hope I'm getting closer to the correct pronunciation of your name. So, okay. And Frank. Thank you. And the first one is Janet.
Yes, hi. Thank you, Andrew. I had a question about the UPSO grievance protocol. There is such a protocol that is online on the kpfa.org website, and I want to know whether you have signed on to that protocol. You know, is there like a contract, that kind of thing? And if not, why not? And if so, have any UPSO grievances come to you through that protocol?
Maybe Andrew should wait. Yeah, why don't we get the questions as we have in the past, and then Andrew can answer them all at once. I think it's a better use of our time. The next person is Margie.
Yeah, I just wanted to smile.
Well, you think you'd be trained by now.
I
just wanted to make a couple of comments. The lawsuit that was filed in Washington concerning the move of the station from one location to another, complicated story, which we can talk about when we talk about what's going on at the PMB. It was a request for a temporary restraining order to prevent the move, and that was denied by the court on Friday. The plaintiffs, of course, have an opportunity to appeal that, but at this point, no temporary restraining order has been issued. And I had something else, but I don't remember what it is. Okay, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, Joy. Mike, please.
I wanted to ask Andrew a little more information about the hire for upfront. Is that position benefited? And what category are those people? Are they unpaid staff? Are they union? Are they at will? Are they part-time temporary? And for that's that one. And then for Free Speech Radio News, you didn't say whether or not you heard anything about whether Pacifica was actually going to pay what they owe. If you know, if you don't know, it's okay. And The last thing, I think I'm going to pass. That's good enough. If I can get some discussion on that.
Brian.
I have a motion in reference to what we just heard. I don't know if you want me to hold off till we get answers to questions.
I think so, please. We should finish this whole period. Thank you. The next person is Ramses. Microphone. Hi.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to say a couple of things. First, I'm really glad to hear that Marie Che was hired for the upfront position. I think she brings a lot of knowledge and a lot of skills. She's someone who's young and Korean American and, you know, has a lot of perspectives on community issues and labor issues. That's how I met her and gotten to know her over the years. So I'm really glad to find out that she's going to be working there. And I would, you know, also want to find out more about, you know, what exactly are those positions? Are they, you know, what are they categorized as? I would like to hear about that too. And at the same time, I would like to ask, can you specify just a little bit more in regards to what you're waiting to hear back from Pacifica regarding the situation with JR? I wasn't sure. I wasn't very clear on that. So if you can just kind of recap it again, appreciate it.
And the last person on the list is Frank.
I was curious about the upfront thing, too, about how Joy stated it, what's their actual position. I was also curious what's going on with the fund drive starting on May Day. Maybe we might want to reconsider that, or is that a plan? Not sure about that. So I'm sure there's lots of things happening in May Day. A lot of times we did a live broadcast from one of the labor events. Oh, I thought you said May 1st. Oh, okay. Well, then forget that. And then I can't believe what you said, so I'd like to know what's more going on and what's going on with your position. I, you know, kind of shocked about this, so I'd like to also hear more about that. I'm assuming that's what Brian's motion might be, so I'll just hold on.
Okay. I'm not in... We're moving very efficiently, and I thank the group. I'm ready to turn to Andrew for responses, but one last chance for people to raise a question before we move to responses. Seeing none, Andrew?
You're ready for me, okay.
Yes.
Janet, I'm perfectly happy to comply with the UPSA grievance protocol. There's been no official UPSA grievance. There were five people on that panel, well representing the staff, paid, unpaid, CWA, equal opportunity. The panel agreed unanimously to the decision. I signed off on it. There was some dispute about revealing some of the proceedings and process of the panel, which I kicked over to Pacifica HR and asked if this was appropriate. Like some members who've had experience with hiring on the UPSO committee, she felt it was not appropriate to reveal the proceedings of any hire committee, that it was private and personal information implicit in that information. Joy asked about the upfront hire. There are no benefits for this hire. It's only for when the vacation is necessary for the host. And these two unpaid staff people will be taken in as paid staff for that period of vacation. I don't know regarding FSRN, will the Pacifica National Office pay what they owe? I can't answer that. Thank you, Ramses, for your comments about upfront. I think it was a good hire. I was pleased with that process too. I think it was fairly held, fairly proceeded fairly, and I think it was a good hire. The JR situation, I think that would be something in executive session. I have said publicly that the matter was taken out of my hands. There seems to be some dispute about that, but I'll leave that for executive session too. Same with you, Frank, up front. I think I've made myself clear on that one. I can't really talk more about the GM situation. I know about as much as you do and what I've mentioned at this board publicly. It's true, May Day is the first. It's just the way the calendar fell. We've discussed it. One of the problems is that to get 24 days of fundraising and not take it through Memorial Day, we need to project backwards or forwards, whichever way you're looking at it, from the weekend of the 24th, which is the Memorial Day weekend, where there's really nobody in town and we really can't expect to do very well. So we projected backwards to get a start date, and it fell on a Monday, which was May 1. That's why it's there currently. Yes.
It's a Wednesday. May 1st is a Wednesday.
What am I talking about here? Hang on. Yeah, that's right. It's a 4th. Sorry, I'm looking at April now. Oh, goodness me. Confused here. Yeah, it's a Wednesday. May 1st is a Wednesday, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It starts on
yeah.
April
30th.
No.
Yeah.
May
1st. I think that was all the questions, am I right?
All right.
Do you want me to
check
in on the upfront?
Sure. Yeah. Brian, you indicated you had some motions in direct respect to the report we've just heard. Donald?
Yeah. I do have one question for Andrew. You mentioned that Ghostbusters will be coming back. And do you have any assessment? I love that. I call them Ghostbusters. maybe we need them. That's a concept. Get rid of all the old ghosts here. Do you have any sense of how you think they're doing so far?
Okay, Brian, you indicated you had a motion with respect to the report we just heard.
My motion is as follows. The KPFA local station board opposes any move by Pacifica to remove or replace a KPFA manager without the meaningful participation of KPFA's elected local station board and consultation with KPFA's paid and unpaid staff.
Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any debate?
I'd like to motivate it if I could.
Please go ahead. And then I see Tracy.
I'm frankly flabbergasted to hear that our manager was just fired over the phone. I sit on the national board. We had a meeting the night before this happened. Not a peep that this might even be under consideration. There's been nothing brought to this local station board. This local station board has already had its good faith attempt to conduct the hire of a permanent general manager blocked by Pacifica in violation of Pacifica's bylaws. And now we have an interim executive director who's been around for less time than our current general manager apparently wants to put a handpicked person in charge of KPFA without so much as consulting anybody who works there. I think it's a fundamental issue of local control. I think it's a question of whether this board has any relevancy at all. We've been elected by KPFA staff and listeners. One of the most important tasks we're given with under Pacifica's bylaws is participating in the process of hiring managers and participating on an equal level with the executive director in the decision to fire them if that's necessary. I think we have to take a strong position that this is not cool.
I've been instructed that Joy has requested the floor, so Tracy, then Joy. Tracy, you have the floor.
The bylaws are actually pretty clear about the way that the LSB inputs into hiring processes, and there's a couple of very specific ways. One is that we do an evaluation of an interim or a permanent general manager, and then we issue a recommendation as a result of that evaluation. What this board did in the spring of 2012, and it did evaluate Mr. Phillips, and the recommendation that this board passed was a resolution of no confidence in the performance of the manager. In addition, this LSB did convene a search committee to go through a permanent hire process, and this board did not include Mr. Phillips amongst the preferred candidates and place his name into the final hiring pool. So what I think needs to be said is that this board has weighed in several times in terms of providing input in the way that the bylaws permit, and has made its feelings somewhat clear.
Would you pass the microphone to Joy, please?
First of all, I want to just thank you, Andrew, for being here with us and part of us. I know how difficult it is. I agree with Brian. Although I may not agree with everything that goes on or has gone on under Andrew's leadership, I believe that he's given honest effort. I believe there should be due process. I believe the same complaint I made about the hiring process that we were talking about earlier for the subscription assistant job was faulty, and this process of getting rid of the interim general manager was faulty. And Andrew may not be aware of the process and the difficulties that I saw with that hire process, but we'll talk about that another time. In this case, in this instance, I don't believe that we should throw people away. If we have a manager who's been here 2 years, he knows a lot, he has some experience, things have gone back and forth. You must take credit for vote of no confidence in 2012 when he wasn't on your side. Now I believe he's on your side and now you want to keep him. But that's another issue too. That's just my own personal opinion. However, we are not being fair. This is not fair. You do not fire someone. And the biggest unfairness is this internal interim position. Internal interim. This is why we can't have a foundation. This is why we can't get anything done. So I'm with this motion. I think it'd be very strong. I want to voice a support for Andrew still. As I said, even though I think we need some work to be done, but I think the potential is there, and I'm in favor of it.
Let me just run through the people who have asked to be heard. Donald, Margie, David, Mark, and Frank. Margie, you have the floor. I'm sorry, Donald, you have the floor.
Good try. Thank you, Joy. I'm with you. I think this is not only a violation of our processes. This is no way to run an organization. This is the clearest example I can think of the utter dysfunctionality of Pacifica at the highest level by a person whose background and organizational experience I have no idea about. I think her experience comes from being, am I wrong, a Scientologist? Or, oh, I got that wrong. Oh, she wasn't? She wasn't one of them. Okay, cool. Let's not go there. All right. This is the second corporate coup against KPFA's managers. The last time was Lem Lem. That was a person of color, we might just point out to folks here, for better or for worse, however you want to interpret it. But what we're seeing here is a repeat of Pacifica's saying they're running the show and we're just pawns in the game. And Ms. Rosenberg's defense of this decision by citing, quote, no confidence a year ago is lame at best. I find this so destructive to the efforts to bring this station moving forward that I'm speechless. And I will do everything I can to fight this individually. I will start to put this out all across the internet in the ways that I can. This is disgusting and behind the back, undemocratic and dysfunctional, and serves no useful purpose. And you can cry allegations of racism and he's guilty until proven innocent. Give me a break.
Now it's Marty's turn.
That's it. Margie passes.
Okay. It is David's turn.
I'll pass for now.
David passes. It is Mark's turn.
Somewhat to reiterate, a year ago was a completely different board. And as an observer, not on the board at the time, I agreed with the assessment that I had no confidence in Andrew's abilities. However, in that year's time, he has taken actions, has brought him around, and the discussions that I've had with other people as well.
Is that
I think it's on.
It's on.
So therefore, it's on.
Talk into it then.
The net result here is that, given the no-confidence rule of a year ago, I think the same board would be hard-pressed to vote the same way a year later, showing that there is room for improvement at any level. The fact that we have a now-gone ED replaced by a might-as-well-be-gone ED making judgments and assessments based on a year ago without any incident or any reliance on any information in that year makes for very bad management decisions in the first place. Makes me question the ED's competency, which, again, is something we should be able to do as a board to evaluate and take a look at as well. The problem here, however, again, is that this reminds me of the Saturday Night Massacre. Is that just keep going down the list, you'll find somebody who's willing to pull the trigger for the boss. What? Why are we getting rid of Andrew? Oh, because he's racist. Well, I don't think that he's done any racist actions. The ultimate point of this all is sins of not as a sins that are not of his own creation are being laid at his feet, and he's being made to sacrifice for them. And that is wrong. This is the job that we should be doing as the LSB, and we've had our legs cut out from underneath us. This is being done without our consent, without our knowledge, without our involvement. We need to vote this resolution in very much.
Thank you, Frank.
All right, I want to support Andrew still. You know, I told you that all through the whole time that all this craziness was going on. At the last meeting, I kind of fought kind of hard to support, you know, a decision. I feel like we voted on a non-decision. I felt like if we could have came to agreements there, maybe that would have helped, you know, if we could have voted on the decision. I asked you to maybe have a meeting of black programmers. I don't know if you ever did that. I think that might have helped. That was coming up on a month ago that I had done that, maybe even longer. I'm not counting the days, but I suggested, why don't you have a meeting of the black programmers, people that have issues. These are some of the proactive things that I would want you to do as a manager. I want to support you. Like I told you, you were one that listened most to the apprenticeship program, gave us feedback, taught a couple classes. Out of all the managers that have been there, you are the one that's been closest to me, I guess, in the apprenticeship program. And I wouldn't want that to end. I don't know about how you feel about Tracy just stating the bylaws, you know. Those are facts. That's what happened. You know, Andrew was not, was voted no competence before by some of the people that were here. Maybe not all of them. It was a different board. It's not completely different. You know, and he made some moves during his time to reach out to other sides. And so I was asking you to reach out back the same way. You know, people might say you went to the dark side or whatever the joke is around the station or whatever the hell is going on. But I would ask you to come back a little, you know, to come back to the middle some, you know. You got to, if you reach, there's more than two sides, really, at KBFA. You reach out to one, to another. You got to, like, I feel, reach out to those, make those proactive decisions to take care of some of these things. I want to support you, too, but I would want to know that you would take some proactive measures there, you know. Like I said about my call last time, to have like a vote on a decision, not a non-decision. You know, I think we all want Andrew to have control, but we weren't voting on any control. We're just voting on saying something. So I would hope that what would you do to get back, you know, to to stay? Are you going to call this meeting of people that have issues, black programmers, or now that they have this HR person, is it just going to be HR all the time, you know? We need to take a proactive step, make these meetings. You said something about guilty till proven innocent. JR, I don't know if he's been proven guilty, but he's serving his punishment. And I believe this guy, I don't know his name yet, in the orange shirt, you said something the same thing, that he's being... He's being blamed for some problems laid at his feet that weren't of his doing. And I know JR, his issues are more than just what he said on the air, but some of those issues, you know, were not of his making either that he brought up. So I think we really need to look at that, how it goes all around the room, whether it's JR or general manager. But I will be in support of keeping Andrew, and I hope that we do something proactive to keep him on and not just let him slip away like he's already gone.
There are three more people on the list, and I would urge people that if points have already been made by somebody that we pass on, we've got a lot of business to do today. The people on the list are Barbara, Tracy for a second in this debate, and then David. David is not on the list anymore.
I just want to address one thing that Joy said. I basically agree with you. But my vision of why there was a no-confidence vote was not that Andrew was on the other side and now he's changed sides. My vision is that when he first came, it was very clear that he was being absolutely directed by the ED and the CFO who were then in office. And as he worked with everyone in the station, he began to find out what the reality was and then began to act on behalf of the staff and supporting KPFA's existence. That's the way I would like to talk about that change.
Tracy.
Okay. Three things, pretty fast. The first is the LSB did go through a hiring process because, of course, we don't want interim management to go on forever, and this board convened a hiring committee. The current board majority was the majority of that committee, and if that committee had been able to come to consensus with the executive director on a candidate, which it was not able to do, Mr. Phillips' tenure would have ended well over a year ago, about a year ago, give or take. So in many ways, if in fact...
I have a point of order.
Brian, excuse me.
Point of order.
Am I correct that the board's hiring decisions were made in closed session?
Excuse me, please don't interrupt, Burton. You can take the point of order when I'm done speaking.
I'm sorry, a point of order takes precedent immediately.
Yep.
And I wasn't here at that time, so I cannot answer the question.
Margie? Then I believe Ms. Rosenberg is engaged in a breach of confidentiality, potentially creating liability for the station during a volatile situation.
This statement was printed on the Safe KPFA website quite a while ago. I'll pull it up and show it to you, Brian.
I would ask the chair to rule on her actions.
The information was disclosed into the public domain quite a while ago.
Excuse me. I have the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I have been informed that the information being discussed was done in closed session. Is that a correct statement?
Yes.
I understand that...
The Pacifica National Board Personnel Committee discussed the matter on the stream well over a year ago. Open.
What?
The information was disclosed a long time
Tracy,
ago.
Tracy, wait till you're recognized, please.
I was recognized.
I have the floor.
I have a question.
No, I'm trying to make a ruling on a points of order, and I need you.
Thank you. All right. Well, I can withdraw that point and continue.
You need to help me. The ruling, I think, needs to be made for the record that if something, it is my view that if something is done in executive session, if somebody other than that authority spills the beans, it does not give license to other people to spill the beans.
That's not actually true.
Okay. But I understand you're ready to move on. Move on.
Okay. Some of the language that we're using is a bit strange with corporate coups and so on. In the case of Lemlem Riccio, in fact, the duly elected KPFA LSB did weigh in on that proceeding. And in fact, the then executive director acted on the recommendation of the LSB, which is appropriate when you're talking about a permanent hire. So there's no parallel for the two situations whatsoever. I also think we should be careful about language regarding race and racism. Excuse me. I do not believe that in any way, shape, or form anyone is making accusations about who is and who isn't a racist. What I'm aware of is that there are issues regarding the handling of complaints of racial discrimination and other forms of discrimination at the station. And as we know, we have a long and tangled history of A, receiving many of these complaints, and B, not being considered to have handled many of these discrimination complaints well over the years, and having, you know, a situation where we are in this position quite frequently. So it is, of course, a primary concern of the individuals who have fiduciary responsibility for this foundation that our claims handling process improve significantly. So I just want to be clear that some of the language that we're using is inflammatory and fundamentally inaccurate.
Okay. There is no one else on the list. I am ready to call the vote. It is, in my view, appropriately a roll call vote. No.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right. This is a difficult situation. I know Andrew came on board and things were very difficult. And I have to say, I want to start off by saying that I find you a much superior choice compared to the person who preceded you in terms of understanding of radio, in terms of your willingness to work hard, actually, and making yourself accessible to the staff. So the fact that I hear you during the fund drive going on air and actually pitching and helping people raise money on air is for me, is refreshing, you know, compared to what we had before. So I really appreciate all these efforts on your part, your diligence, your willing to, have an open-door policy to the staff and so forth and so on. I don't know the details of this. I mean, unfortunately, I'm going to be honest, this motion puts me in an awkward position because I don't really know what the details are, and I think that's what, in a sense, that's the merit of this motion, is saying that you have to have a consultation with the board. So I wish I had a little more information to make a better decision, a more intelligent decision in terms of, because I don't exactly know, I mean, was it something that was cooking, you know, until it actually reached the pressure, you know, point that it was it couldn't be contained. I mean, it was something, for instance, had to do with, I could see personnel issues could be of that nature. I mean, if there's a gross violation on part of somebody, personnel issues could be really detrimental if they're not handled carefully, and they could actually be quite detrimental to the well-being of the station and the foundation. So I don't know the details. I don't know what exactly going on. But I can tell you this, Andrew. And I can tell the board about this. It's going to be very difficult to find a manager who can handle this volatile situation at the station. And I want to make that, in all honesty, it's going to be very difficult. So in a sense, what I'm trying to say, Andrew may have, and I think Andrew was put in a position that was, you know, sort of a no-win situation. I'll finish, yes. So in a sense, I'm not sure who else could contain these issues. I mean, it's very difficult to resolve them rather than contain them. I don't think containing them is good enough. So anyways, I want to also suggest that after this, I guess I may want to propose an amendment to the motion. Is that
maybe afterwards?
Yes.
You have to do it before we
do. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Strictly speaking, as I understand it, you can't speak and then then make a motion. I forgive me for that.
You can make it twice, but you can make another motion after we vote on this.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I am on the threshold of calling a roll call vote.
Vote.
All right. Hold it a second.
We will. Process thing, if we allow each individual to speak twice on the matter prior to a vote, then if there is an amendment to this motion that Sharam wants to make, he can use his second opportunity to speak prior to a vote to make that amendment before we vote on the original motion, if he wants to.
If he wants to, but what I understood from him, because I thought I was listening to him, is that he will make his motion after this motion is processed.
Oh, no, I meant to amend this motion. Okay.
Is this a point of order or a debate?
An inquiry. I would like to have the original motion read again before yes. Sharon makes an amendment.
Okay.
Okay. The KPFA Local Station Board opposes any move by Pacifica to remove or replace a KPFA manager without the meaningful participation of KPFA's elected local station board and consultation with KPFA's paid and unpaid staff.
I'm proposing that the word consultation be used in lieu of participation in the first part of the motion. In other words, it would be consultation with the board and the staff.
Are you moving to strike participation or add?
Oh, no. I'm proposing to strike participation and for it to be replaced by the word consultation.
Okay. We will take the amendment first.
Can I say why I'm...
Yeah. I just... Give me a chance, folks. You can motivate your motion, and then we have debate on the amendment.
So I may be mistaken, but the word participation to me in my lexicon means that you actually have in a position to affect the decision-making process through some sort of a power relations that is not asymmetrical. In other words, you're at the same level with the executive director to make a decision, right? Participation, it's a collective decision-making process. I mean, and you have probably as much say as the AD. So I'm not sure if that's the case based on our bylaws. Word consultation is actually, consultation is definitely needed because of what I just mentioned earlier. So that's my understanding, and that's why I'm proposing this.
Carol has it for
my understanding. And I'm not asserting this as truth, this is my understanding, is that actually the board in the bylaws has the right to participate, not to just consult. Consult is less powerful, less pure, and so I think that to agree to your amendment would undercut our own authority that we already have.
Mark. I'm checking it is in... Okay, this is Article 7, if I understand it. Section 3, paragraph D, subsection D, both the executive director and or an LSB may initiate the process to fire a general manager. However, to effectuate it, both the executive director and the LSB must agree to fire said general manager. If the executive director and the LSB cannot agree, the decision to terminate or retain said general manager shall be made by the board of directors, and my understanding of that reference is the board of directors of Pacifica. I see Janet's hand.
I'm sorry.
I'm done. It's okay.
Point of order.
So,
who seconded the motion to amend?
Thank you. Was there a second to the?
Second.
There is a second.
There was no second at the time, however.
There was no second at the time.
Then, if the maker of the motion wishes to withdraw, then there would be no motion, and this would be moot.
Let me ask from the chair, in light of the provision in the bylaws, would you like your motion still to be considered?
Yes.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Yes. Okay.
So, Margie, Janet, Tracy.
Okay. The order is Margie, Brian, Janet, and Tracy. Here.
I just want to say that I believe that we have, as an LSB, we have very few rights and responsibilities. And one of them is to effectively engage in the hiring and the firing of a GM. And so I don't want to give that up. I don't want to reduce our participation to consultation, and so I'm opposed to the amendment.
Brian. Pass. Janet. Get a mic to Janet, please.
Sorry. I believe the clause, or whatever it's called, that you quoted refers to general manager. And the situation here is an interim general manager, and I don't think that this applies to that. And on the other hand, I think that the bylaws need some changes and improvements, but they are what they are right now. In any case, it's interim general manager.
Tracy.
The bylaws apply to permanent general managers and permanent program directors who are hired by search processes, put into LSB pools, and then selected. It does not apply to interims. It hasn't for a decade. Lem Regio, for example, was an interim appointed directly by an executive director, Greg Guma. Jim Bennett was in the same position several times. That's the way it is. Please don't interrupt. An LSB weighs in. One thing to say is that permanent general managers and permanent program directors have hiring contracts. Interims do not. That's the difference. They are at-will employees without employment contracts. In terms of the process, the reason the LSB weighs in on the termination of a permanent GM is that the LSB weighed in on the hiring of that same individual. This LSB did not do so. And in fact, when this LSB did attempt to replace a permanent hire, as we say, this LSB registered an opinion. In terms of the process, you can't apply one half of the bylaw and not apply the other half of the bylaw. The LSB's authorities relate to individuals that are hired by LSB search committee processes, and that's not the case here, and who have pending employment contracts, which is also not the case here. So the bylaw really doesn't apply. I'm empathetic to the idea that this board would like more information. I think that's appropriate. It should be coming. But I'm not empathetic to the demand to basically haphazardly enforce one part of a bylaw and not the other. That's inappropriate. And again, this board had opportunities to evaluate, to recommend, and to participate in the hiring process of a permanent general manager. And this board took certain actions. And those actions are the reason that an interim GM position has continued for, I guess, just about two years, and I think this board needs to take some responsibility for that situation.
There are two more people on the list, Mark and Craig, and the chair would like to point out to my colleagues that in the agenda that we approved at the beginning of the meeting, we have arrived at the time for the next item. As the group can make the agenda elastic, but it's my duty to remind you. Mark?
Very simply, the bylaws exist, and the primary purpose for the bylaws is to give us order and continuity in operations. Without regard for Tracy's rather convoluted explanation, it's undercut by the fact that, as she points out, action by this board maintained the interim position. Well, if it didn't have any action or capability on the interim position, how could it have done that? So obviously, her assessment of how the bylaws apply and work does not hold water in this case. But underlying the entire philosophy, the entire basis for the local stations boards is to provide local input into national operations. This is supposedly to keep the national board from demanding from on high how things are done with little or no understanding of how things are on the local level, this being a prime example of it. In this whole effort, it is mandatory under the bylaws for the local station board to be involved without regard to status of interim or permanency, to at least be consulted at the minimum, if not fully involved at the maximum, as defined in the bylaws. To assume the local station board can be just cut out and ignored is to grant national authority where it is undeserved and unwanted.
Thank you. Craig.
The bylaws make no distinction about interim versus permanent. None. And so to make such a distinction is gratuitous and I think disingenuous. Now, the argument that Tracy raises that that interim does apply here, well, she cites the evaluation that this board did last year as a basis for the proposed or threatened termination of the general manager. Item C under the specific duties of the board says to prepare an annual written evaluation of the station's general manager. No distinction there about interim versus permanent. And this argument, I think, that Tracy raises is simply incoherent. You can't have it both ways. You can't cite the board's evaluation as the reason, as the justification for firing the general manager here, and then turn around and say, oh, no, the board has no role to play in discussing or even being informed of this decision because he's an interim. Again, that language does not exist. There's an important principle here, and the reason the local board exists is to play a role in the administration, the management, the direction, and the stability of the station. And I think it is, I can only echo the outrage and the disgust, I think, that people have raised about this action, previous speakers, more articulate than I. But I just want to make the point that there is nothing in the bylaws that says anything about restricting, you know, the role of the LSB to the interim position. And, in fact, we shouldn't.
I am ready to take a vote.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I thought that I misread it. Matthew?
I just
want to
say that they talked about the interim.
That Mike.
The decision to dismiss our
Let's
interim.
Let's have order.
The decision to dismiss our interim IG was made by an interim ED.
Please, folks, I get the sense from hearing the debate that people are talking to express themselves rather than to convince others. I, as chair, get the sense that we are ready to vote. Please bear in mind that we have an agenda to process. With that remark, is anybody desirous of the floor before I call the roll call on the amendment? You would like to do what? Tracy, second on the amendment.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be fast. I just want to clarify, Craig, that I wasn't at all saying that the reason for the change as I understand it had anything to do with the LSB's evaluation. As I recall, the LSB debated for a considerable amount of time whether or not it should evaluate an interim GM and finally came to the conclusion that it should. There was a great deal of doubt on this body whether we should go through that process and all kinds of questions about the fairness of the process and who got to participate and staff that weren't contacted and so on and so on. And there's a minority report and all kinds of nonsense that went on. But the upshot is that if, in fact, that had been the motivating scenario, then we might have been looking at something like this 12 months ago. So for you to state that I said that that was the reason is not correct. What I said was the reason, as I understood it, specifically had to do with the handling of complaints and concerns that the executive director, who is, in fact, the supervisor of all of the station GMs, felt was something that she could not allow to continue. I mean, that's my understanding of her reasons, and I'm sure that she will elaborate. You can shake your head, but I'm just saying what you attributed to me saying is not what I said.
One of the reasons in Robert's Rules of Order that people in the formal thing, and I'm about to insist upon this, is that people don't mention people by names because we get into a back and forth about our attack and defend. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the sense...
Mr. Chair, I wanted to... 30 seconds, I promise.
Use the microphone,
please. Use the microphone. Okay.
All right. You know, the distinction between an IGM and GM lies in this thing, that IGM is not hired through the same process that was just, you know, read off the bylaws. IGM is exclusively hired by the ED. Therefore, if you want to be consistent with your reading of the bylaws, you will find a contradiction there. So the IGM is not hired through the same process. The same rules do not apply. Therefore, the firing of the IGM is not done by the board, or it's through the same power of the board either.
The chair has a sense...
That was exactly 30 seconds. Thank you, Sharon.
Was the member speaking to me?
The chair has the sense that the board is ready to vote on the amendment. The amendment is that in the following reading, the word participation, and I will read both words, will be struck, and in its place will be inserted the word consultation. The KPFA Local Station Board opposes any move by Pacifica to remove or replace a KPFA manager without the meeting participation to be changed to consultation, without the meaning consultation of KPFA's consultation of KPFA's elected social board and consultation with KPFA's paid and unpaid staff. We are ready for a roll call vote, and Mr. Secretary.
This is on the amendment. This is to change that word. And I just want to note for the record that Mel Sanders has arrived. So, welcome. Okay, so are we all ready for the... Yep. Okay, so here we go. We're voting on amending this to change that word from participation to consultation. Agamir?
Yes.
Agamir, yes. Alderson, I will vote no. Bernstein, not here. Edwards-Tiekert?
No.
Edwards-Tiekert, no. Fuentes-Ramon?
No.
Fuentes-Ramon, no. Gans?
Abstain.
Gans abstains. Goldmacher?
No.
Goldmacher, no. Hallinan? Helen Ann, no. Hernandez?
No.
Hernandez, no. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson, yes. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. Kurzweil, not here. Moore? No. Moore, no. Morgan, not here. Pritchett, not here. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Rosenberg, yes. Sanders?
No.
Sanders, no. Sawyer?
No.
Sawyers, no. Siegel, not here. Sterling?
I'll vote no.
Sterling, no. Tao Nichols?
Yes.
Tao Nichols, yes. Travis?
No.
Travis, no. Whipperman?
No.
Whipperman, no. White?
Pass.
White will pass. Wilkinson?
No.
Wilkinson, no. And White, do you, Burton, do you want to vote now or you abstain?
It's not necessary.
Not voting. Okay. So that's 13 yes, 5 no. I'm sorry? Sorry?
You said 13 no.
13 no. I've got to change one. 13 no. Okay, 13 no, 5 yes, 1 abstention, 1 not voting.
Okay.
And so that's defeated.
I'm glad to see that the board's eagle eyes go on someone else, not only on me. We are now, I am now ready to call, ask the secretary to call a vote on the original motion without amendment, once again to be read. The KPFA Local Station Board opposes any move by Pacifica to remove or replace a KPFA manager without the meaningful participation of KPFA's elected social station board and consultation with KPFA's paid and unpaid staff.
Okay, are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Agamir? We'll pass. We'll come back to you. Alderson, I vote yes. Bernstein, not here. Edwards Tiekert. Edwards Tiekert, yes. Fuentes Ramon?
Yes.
Fuentes Ramon, yes. Gans?
Yes.
Gans, yes. Goldmacher?
Yes.
Goldmacher, yes. Hallinan?
Yes.
Hallinan, yes. Hernandez?
Yes.
Hernandez, yes. Johnson?
Abstain.
Johnson abstains. Coburn?
Abstain.
Coburn abstains. Kurzweil, not here. Moore?
Yes.
Moore, yes. Morgan, not here. Pritchett, not here. Rosenberg? Rosenberg abstains. Sanders?
Yes.
Sanders, yes. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel, not here. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Tao Nichols?
No.
Tao Nichols, no. Travis?
Yes.
Travis, yes. Whipperman?
Yes.
Whipperman, yes. White?
For the record, yes.
White, yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson, yes. And then Agamir?
Abstain.
Agamir abstains. Okay, so let's see if I can get this right this time. 15 yes, 1 no, 3 abstentions.
I think it's 4 abstentions.
Oh, yep, you're right. Boy.
Okay.
Sure, yes, I'm sorry. It was 15 yes, 1 no, and 4 abstentions.
Brian Edwards Tiekert.
Mr. Chair, issues have come up during debate, which I think merit the board clarifying its position on the tenure of the particular general manager we have now. I move we pass a motion that says the local station board supports continuing the tenure of Andrew Phillips as interim general manager until the permanent hire process can be completed.
Second.
It was a motion second. Do you have that writing or will you have it writing?
I
move that we extend this agenda item for 15 minutes in order to take up this motion.
I can't see the clock. There's a reflection in it.
Yeah.
To 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Odd procedure. All those in favor of the procedural motion to extend the agenda item to 1 o'clock by that clock, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nays? I'm sorry, abstentions? It passes. Okay, now we're ready for debate on the motion. Tracy, I see your hand. I see
Sharon,
I'm sorry. I'm going crazy too early in the meeting. Let me see if there are any other. The only two. Tracy, you've got the floor.
Okay, well, two questions, I think. The first question is, so the last motion was that the LSB, the paid staff, and the unpaid staff would be consulted with regard to a decision, but now you want to make that decision without having had any consultation whatsoever with the individual who made the decision. That doesn't really add up. It makes it clear that, you know, there's really no desire to get any information about what happened and why, because you already know what you want to advocate for before you've even had a conversation. The second thing is, what permanent hiring process are you talking about extending? The board doesn't have a permanent hiring process underway. So
I'm going to make a motion later about
that. Oh, you're going to make more motions. Okay.
No cross-table talk, please.
Okay, well, you might want to clarify that motion because you're talking about extending a process that you have not begun. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay, Sharon. Brian, did you have your hand up? Excuse me, my apologies. I see Ramsey.
So Tracy essentially echoed in her first part of remarks, echoed what I wanted to say. I said it before, I'm not in a position to judge this decision because I don't have enough input and information. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person is Jory. Please pass her the mic.
I want to say that I went along with the language of the motion we just passed because it supported any GM, and that's more our purview, I believe. And I agree with Sharam that we need more information to make the decision about whether or not to support Andrew in this position, because we've been given no information about why this decision was made and obviously was not based on something that this board did a year ago. So there must be something that we are not privy to. And so I think this is too premature to make this decision right now. But I do want to say, again, that the notion that a general manager, whether be an interim or not, that decision is so important that the LSB must be involved in that decision. And so we do need more information to make that decision. That's all.
The other names are Ramses and Carol.
So I would like to speak against the motion, but I want to first clarify, was there a second to the motion? Are we in motion right now? Okay. All right. I just didn't catch it when it happened. Thanks. It does feel like when I first heard the motion, like it just kind of felt like, well, why wasn't that piece part of the last motion? I feel like just kind of makes me wonder what motion is coming next. I do think it's too much and it's overwhelming. I do hear the points made, you know, started by Tracy in regards to, well, if we set up this, if we made a motion that eventually passed that's asking for all this meaningful participation, then why are we now trying to make a decision, right? And feel like now we're kind of undercutting, you know, like, you know, bypassing the first motion. So that just from that, I feel like I would be against it. But I do want to recommend, you know, and I've been in tons of meetings with Robert's Rules of Orders, that if there is something really heated, to try to, you know, come to these meetings and ask for a specific time frame for debate, you know, and discussion, so that the whole room can vent out where it's at and understand better where we as a board can make a better decision together, rather than getting caught up in Robert's Rules traps, you know, motions and counter motions, you know, where the debate's framed, you know, by the roller coaster and the track's already set in the direction that it goes and we have no control over it, right? This is like going around in circles many times when we're trapped in motions and Robert's Rules, and it can be really, really honestly at the service for what I think is a community organization, you know, and not, you know, Washington, D.C., where public interest, you know, and filthy corporations, you know, run the system instead of Robert's Rules specifically for this to happen, right? So please, you know, if y'all can take that recommendation, it'd be great for the future. But for now, I'm speaking against the motion. Yes.
Carol has the floor.
I am absolutely outraged to come here and find out that Andrew is, that there's considering to fire him. I'm outraged at that. And as a union person, that there is no anything anywhere about why, and that we're having a board meeting now and we're not going to have a board meeting before he's fired and we're not willing to take a position knowing what we do know about Andrew is, I think, is not right. That we have to take a position based on what we know. If it turns out that tomorrow he's accused of stealing or of something that's horrible, of course, that would take precedence, and what we've done here today, based on what we know, would be undercut. But he deserves our support based on what he's done here, and that's period.
The next person on the list is Mark, followed by Margie, and that ends the list as of this moment. And Frank.
I'm taking my name off the list.
Margie is dropping. Mark, you have the floor.
Well, I was just going to point out that the agenda already has on there and has been out for a couple of days that we're going to be introducing motion, theoretically, to begin the program director recruitment. And I believe there was going to be a motion as well as that for general manager, but I may be wrong. But at the same time, it means that the motions are moving forward, that the board is moving forward to get the hiring done. To that end, and given the fact of what was stated earlier, with summaries indicating that Andrew could go ahead and apply at the next hiring round, I don't see any reason why we would be objecting to this motion to get the hiring process started and underway, unless people don't want to get the hiring process started. I mean, this is our way into it, people. Or we can just sit around and wait for the interim ED to fire the interim GM. And what are we going to get now, an interim LSB to go in and do things? Is that what we're looking at doing? We need to start taking action. This is one step to doing it. I support this motion in terms of getting a permanent GM hire, whether it's Andrew or not. But at the same time, we need somebody in rather than a 90-day wonder who's going to be walking in and walking out when the process is done. At the very least, we'll maintain Andrew until the permanent hire is done. And we won't have to go through the madness of trying to reintegrate a new hire who may or may not know how the station runs, who may or may not have good relations with staff and with listeners. This at least gives us a bit of continuity without the insanity.
Thank you. Frank, please, do you have a mic?
Well, I want to support Andrew, and I probably will vote yes on this, but I can't help find it so ironic that you're almost in the same position JR is in. We're about to vote on something without knowing exactly what happened. And I think that's what happened to JR, kind of, you know. We don't all know exactly what happened, and now we all don't know exactly what happened here. And I supported JR not in what he did and to think some of the things he did, but his right to be able to speak out to things. And that's probably why I'll vote yes to that. I want Andrew to stay on as interim general manager because I like Andrew, what he's done. But I'd also want to know that he would take some proactive steps like you did for Upfront. When Upfront was created, you reached out, you did something. I feel like the lack of reaching out and doing something is like where we're at. And I do feel like it's so ironic that you're in this situation right now that we're voting on this and that people are even arguing against it. You know, it's just, it just strikes me, it's too ironic there. But I probably will be voting yes because I do want you to stay around. But I would really appreciate some action to take care of those issues, you know.
Thank you, Frank. Donald and Brian are on the list. And Craig.
Speaking of ironies, thank you, Frank. I'm with you. I find it terribly ironic that the Pacifica National Board, through its entity of IED, while having, as was referred to earlier, as turmoil and volatility at WBAI and WPFW, wants to add fuel to the fire and now create further volatility here at KPFA. All in the name, I am sure, of community radio. Local participatory community radio. Isn't that the banner that's used by those folks on the PNB, and some of whom are on the PNB from this local board, I might point out. So you want to create more chaos here at KPFA, as if we have not had our fair share. And I just wonder, what is the thinking behind that? What do you hope to gain? What is the real agenda? Those are the questions we really need to be asking. Because we know of nothing that Andrew has done month to month as the local station board that would warrant an abrupt decision by an IED to say, you're out of here. I ask anybody in this room to provide me with the proof.
Brian.
I just want to make it clear why I'm bringing the motion. It became clear in debate that some people who represent us on the PNB might be disposed to argue that this local board has already participated in a decision and that it came down on the side of getting rid of her interim general manager. I don't want that argument to stand. I want us to be clear where we stand today. And I think it's a simple question. I mean, as someone who works at the station, here's who I look at. I want our manager picked through an open hire process where the best candidates we get compete against each other. The question is, what should our situation be until then? And I look around the station, and it's reasonably stable. We've been beating our fund drive goals. We've been making more money in less time than we did a year ago. People are pleasant to each other in the hallways. Shram and I went out to dinner a week and a half ago. Thank you, by the way. He picked up the tab. It's shockingly good at KPFA right now. And I sit on the national board. We get reports on what's going on at the rest of the network. We got financial statements at our national board meeting. Every single station plus the national office is bleeding money. Red ink at the bottom of their income statement, with one exception. That exception is KPFA, which posted $115,000 surplus because the station is relatively healthy right now. KPFA has been wiring money to WBAI so they don't bounce their payroll checks. KPFA wired $35,000 to Free Speech Radio News so that it would not go off the air. KPFA is in good enough shape that this is the last place we should want to shake up right now. Now, fair enough. The executive director can come to us tomorrow and say, we have evidence that your general manager murdered someone, so he think he should be out of a job. I think we would all happily change our position on his tenure at that point. But we need to be clear about what our position is until she talks to us.
Okay, my folks, it is 4 minutes to the end of our extended time. Craig is next, then Tracy for her second, and Frank for his second. Craig.
Well, I was going to say what Brian said, but just to point out, this does not preclude us changing our minds. If new information surfaces, and we can do that. We have. But I agree with Brian. I agree with Brian that we need a statement of position right now. So I will be voting yes on this, and I urge everybody else to vote yes on it.
Can we call a question on this?
A question can be called.
Two more people left. We just finished.
A question has been called. It's up to the group to make a decision on it.
Well, you can't call a question until you go through the order.
Hold it, folks. It takes a two-third vote. With that in mind, Jose?
I'll withdraw.
Okay. Folks, it's helpful if we have one speaking, or I should say one person yelling at me at a time. Janet, I'm putting you in because you're ahead of the people who have already spoken.
Okay, so first I would like the motion to be reread, and then I might have an amendment.
The KPFA Local Station Board supports continuing the tenure of Andrew Phillips as interim general manager until the process of hiring a permanent general manager is complete.
So my amendment would be somewhere in there, based on the information that we have as of this date.
That's a friendly amendment, and I'm going to put it at the very beginning. Give me a second to jot it down. The amendment, which is my understanding, is accepted by the maker and the seconder as a friendly amendment, would read as follows. Based on the information we have as of this date, the KPFA Local Station Board supports continuing the tenure of Andrew Phillips as interim general manager until the process of hiring a permanent general manager is complete. With that in mind, do the people who are on the list still desire the floor?
Ask if there's objection to the amendment.
I beg your pardon?
Ask if there's objection to the amendment.
I hear it, but I was just thinking of whether if it's accepted as a friendly amendment.
There's no such thing as a friendly amendment.
Okay. Is there objection to the amendment as becoming part of the original motion? All right. I see that people would still like
Tracy
to talk.
Tracy
and Frank, and we're at our 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock time. Tracy, you have the floor.
Well, I think a couple of things should be said here. One is, I mean, there's people dying to fire the manager at PFW. There's people dying to fire the manager at BAI, probably most of the station's community by now. KPFK, not so bad, but there's definitely some talk about it pretty consistently, and there's a whole insurgent thing in Texas. So I guess what I'm sort of saying here is, the difference is that these individuals have employment contracts and they were hired by way of a local station board pool that selected them and then sent them to an ED that selected them. So it's a different process. And the lack of clarity about that seems really confusing on a board where many of these people understand that Lemlem Grigio was hired on exactly that same process. And at the time, we were told that because she was an interim, all kinds of things were different. So I think we have to be careful, and Joy brought this issue up, which I think is correct, is that we make the process malleable depending on the particular argument that we're trying to make at the time, and the process has to be consistent no matter who it is. So if an interim can be dropped in and dropped out at the pleasure of a given executive director, then that's what the policy is. The second thing that I'm going to say is Schramm's correct in some of the things that he brought up about the impossibility of this situation. He's also correct in some of the things that he said about the difficulty of the situation that Andrew has faced all the way through, including the period of time when he was the devil incarnate and this current stirring show of support. In both cases, it's a difficult and an impossible situation to navigate. I don't want to question the happy hallways concept, but I do want to tell you guys that when the network looks at KPFA, there's a pile of grievances this high. I think we're up to 10. They don't see your happy, smiling universe. They see trouble on a stick. There is no other station in the network that has more than 2. You guys are 5 times over the least happy, the least harmonious workplace in this environment. And it's perceived to be a huge problem. People look at Berkeley and go, oh, my God, what an effing mess. I mean, that's the reality. So, you know, sometimes you have to get reality to connect with what's going on in your own heads. Okay, I'll stop there.
Great.
The happy hallways analogy. That was good. Anyway, I would say I feel better with Andrew there. But we got to look, who is it happy for? You know, I'm glad you're happy. JR ain't happy. I'm not very happy. Let's restate this. I am happy, but the apprenticeship program is not doing well. We're still struggling. We were amongst the first ones to feel the cuts when it first started. There was no big hubbub for saving us or nothing like that. So I feel like, yes, things are getting better with Andrew there, and I want to support him. And like I said, we'll probably vote yes for this. But we need to, like, really look around. So I'm glad it's happy there where you are. But like I said, the apprenticeship program is still struggling to maintain and keep people in there. And I feel like we're arguing for Andrew here the exact same way we argued for JR, but now it's for Andrew, so everyone's for it. You know what I mean? We're arguing to keep him on until we find out the facts. Meanwhile, we don't know the facts for JR, and I know I'm repeating myself, but he's out on the street. So I just wanted to point that out again. So I think with the words of consistency, we got to remain consistent from JR or lower level up to general manager level. And I argued for JR some of his points, and I will stick it out for Andrew too, because I support him and I want him to work it out and, you know, take care of stuff. But I feel like we need to look back at how it works. So we're arguing for one, we're not arguing for the other, now we're arguing for the other, we're not arguing for one. We need to remain consistent on the arguments we're having about seeing facts before we cut people loose. Because now we haven't done it for one, but we're right here about doing it for Andrew. Now me, I could say I did it for both, but.
Pass it to Ramses, please. Ramses.
Yeah, thank you. I want to say I really appreciate the arguments made by some of the folks around the room about why you're in favor of the motion. I think that was very clear and articulate, and I understand better, and I've moved at this point from a no on this motion to abstain, and I would say I'm abstaining because I'm not confident I have that much information about the situation. I think there is legitimacy to the arguments made about, you know, how many grievances are out there, issues, you know, that we would be holding management accountable at all times in any setting. But at the same time, you know, I don't appreciate the abruptness of this from Pacifica, right? And I think a better and more practical framework for us and the position we're in, you know, and as we move forward, is to understand our power in relation to Pacifica and what can we do to be more than just symbolic or activist about saying, like, this is what we want, it should be this way, right? Knowing that most likely we're not going to get it because the system's already set, the bylaws for Pacifica are set, they do have the power over the issue. It's nothing but an uphill climb for us. But how can we bring Pacifica down to this floor, right, and say, now you're here, tell us why you're making this decision, because obviously a majority of people here are upset that you're making it the way you are, right? Maybe it takes a motion to say Pacifica has to come here, even if it's an executive session, to share with us what your plan is, why you're making these decisions, because this affects all of us, especially those of us elected who are out in the community, and now we're going to be hearing from multiple listeners and people out there in the community telling us what the hell is going on with KPFA all over again, right? So that kind of practical approach is something I'm more in favor of, but directly just trying to, like, do this, you know, a little, like, punch out there to see where, how far it goes and how far it stings, you know, the people we don't like who are making decisions that we don't agree with. I think it's more going to be more symbolic than actually practical for us. So for that, I personally have to say I abstain on this, but I appreciate more comments that have been said since I last spoke, as now I understand more clearly why you're so passionate about this motion and keeping Andrew with the organization. Thanks.
Andrew was asked for the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't read all of my document. I'm just going to share a little bit with you because I think there's some disputes about this issue. I've been accused of dragging my feet regarding the HR and JR Valerie incident and throwing too much at HR in the national office, which I will insist asked me to do exactly that. I will insist asked me to do exactly that. I have the paper trail of email that will show that. On January the 10th, at the request of JR Valerie, Well, I will just say that in terms of the grievances, the CWA was told by the interim director that she was handling the grievances, not this manager. And I have yet to see that pile of grievances that Tracy Rosenberg's talking about. There are grievances which the executive director said she would be dealing with. Now, this is problematic for me because authority has been taken from this manager. I've asked constantly for the executive director to act, and she has not. And I'm now put in this invidious position, and forget about me, the foundation and this radio station is. And this is a storm in a teacup. It's a ruse, and it's not right, not just for this manager, but for this organization, this station, for which I'm the interim general manager.
I am ready to call the vote. The motion, as modified by the board's agreement, reads as follows. based on the information we have as of this date, the KPFA local station board supports continuing the tenure of Andrew Phillips as interim general manager until the process of hiring a permanent general manager is complete. The secretary will read the roll.
Okay, I see Sharam has stepped out, so I hope he'll be back shortly. I will vote yes on this. Bernstein is not here. Edwards Tickert?
Yes.
Edwards Tickert is yes. Fuentes Roman?
Yes.
Fuentes Roman is yes. Gans?
Yes.
Gans is yes. Goldmacher?
Yes.
Goldmacher is yes. Hallinan?
Has left.
Oh, Hallinan is not present. Hernandez?
Yes.
Hernandez is yes. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson is yes. Coburn?
Abstain.
Coburn abstains. Kurzweil is not here. Moore?
Yes.
Moore is yes. Morgan is not here. Pritchett is not here. Rosenberg? Rosenberg is not here. Sanders? Sanders abstains. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer is yes. Siegel is not here. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling is yes. Teo Nichols?
Abstain.
Teo Nichols abstains. Travis?
Yes.
Travis is yes. Whipperman?
Yes.
Whipperman is yes. White?
For the record, yes.
White is yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson is yes. And okay, so that is 14 yes, 0 no, 3 abstentions.
Are we ready to move on? Okay, the next item on the agenda is... Oh.
Mr. Chair, that if the board wants to go into executive session and discuss more of this, that would be up to you. I really did discuss in substantial detail last time.
I hear nothing from the board requesting an executive session. Am I missing anyone?
No.
Okay, let's proceed. Thank you.
The next thing is the treasurer's report, but in fact we are so beyond our schedule, I would request that we take a break before I have to give you the news.
Okay. Let's see, the break is scheduled for 20 minutes. Can we make it a 15-minute break, folks?
Yes, the best.
15 minutes. If we will... Come back at 1:30. It's a 17-minute break. Thank you all.